Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it is a glorious day here in the South. It is now the middle of October, and you know it's still going to be 88 degrees today. I am so tired of it being warm. I'm just really looking forward to some cool weather. How about you? I know I always say this in the beginning of the show about the weather because we have so many guests on the show from different areas of the country, and I like to always see, hey, what's happening in your neck of the woods? Because you know what? Weather is just like healthcare. It's one thing here, and it's a different thing there, which we will definitely find out on today's show. Today, we are going to be talking about naturopathic medicine again. It's the end of Naturopathic Medicine Awareness Week. Today's the last day. But we will continue forward to having one naturopathic physician every week at a different day, a different time. So do check out the archives for that link. So what will we be talking about today? Men's health. Can you honestly believe it? Men's health with naturopathic medicine. The number one medicine that says take care of yourselves, and men are the number one people that do. They don't not take care of themselves. So this is going to be an absolutely great show and a lot of challenging conversation. My guest today is Dr. Heath McAllister. He is from Arizona, and he'll be able to talk to us about everything men's health, diet, and how he works with his clients with diet and botanical medicine and homeopathy and a lot of the lifestyle challenges men have with diabetes, heart disease, overweight, a lot of different topics we can all get into today. So, Dr. Heath, welcome to the show. It's great to have you today.
Great. Thanks so much, Dr. Jeanette. I'm happy to be here.
So you can tell us a little bit about naturopathic medicine, what you think it is, and how you even got started in this. I mean, you know, men don't even ever want to take care of themselves, right?
Sure, absolutely. Luckily, that's changing. I've actually started seeing a lot of men coming to the clinic really interested in taking their health on seriously. It's a really shifting climate these days, so I'm really happy to say that. As far as naturopathic medicine goes, you know, I got interested in this probably about 10 years ago. I didn't even know naturopathic medicine existed, but I moved out west. I was living in California, and I found naturopathic medicine, and essentially it's, you know, I think it's the medicine of the future. It's the best of modern science that we have, along with all of our wonderful alternative therapies that, like you already mentioned, like herbal medicine, diet and lifestyle things, homeopathy, supplementation, and so forth. So I found the program, I entered the program, and I became a naturopathic doctor. And I still tell my colleagues and the students that I teach that it's the best decision I ever made for my life.
And, of course, we look at naturopathic medicine and we think it's just this new age guru thing. And maybe you just found it of recent, but it's been around forever. Naturopathic medicine has been with us for centuries. I always speak about the New Orleans Pharmacy here in New Orleans, which is the oldest in the country. And when you walk in the front door, there are little silver tubes with little pellets in, which is homeopathy. And there's tons of journals and dried up herbs and flowers, and it's botanical medicine information. So really, naturopathic medicine's been around for so many, you know, centuries, forever, it seems. It's just that it took a back seat in the early 1900s, and then technology kind of dragged medicine into this other place where I call it technology medicine. And, you know, it's great to know about drugs, and it's great to know about x-rays and how I can cut off this piece and put another piece in or replace a knee or change out a cornea. And that's all well to do, but still, now you still need to have this natural healing of your body, because technology can't heal us. And I think that's where naturopathic medicine is now coming forefront, is that we're still looking for that missing piece. You know, what can heal us totally? Don't you believe so? I mean, we're taking, you know, part of the one medicine and part of the other, and we're kind of combining it to get the best result.
Absolutely, absolutely. I completely agree. I think all of medicine, you know, including conventional medicine and naturopathic medicine, they offer us powerful tools to improve our health. With naturopathic medicine, what I feel like that really shines at is it can really help with getting someone living their best, being their most healthy, having the most vitality, the most energy, you know, really treating a lot of chronic conditions. Whereas conventional medicine, I feel like they really shine at you know, what they do best, which is, you know, doing surgeries for people and helping people in acute care. So naturopathic medicine, I really see that as their role is to keep people healthy and to help restore people to health. And that's what I do every day when I work with patients. I work with people trying to find the right diet for them, trying to get people moving, exercising, getting people drinking enough fluid, a lot of the basics. You'd be surprised at how often just doing the basics alleviates a lot of people's symptoms. So, you know, getting really a healthy regimen down and then throwing in some of these other therapies as needed to help restore them to greater health.
You know, we talked about on the other show this weekend, there was a marathon here in New Orleans. And we all know what happens when people have a marathon. People come out and they think, oh, hey, I'm going to do it. I've been jogging on the treadmill for blah, blah, blah. I can do it. I can do it. And it happens to be a very hot day. And everybody says, well, you know, we've been dealing with the heat. What's the difference? But some people who have been having office jobs and jogging inside of gyms now came out and were doing this marathon outside, and it was almost 90 degrees and 80% humidity. And it was the strangest thing because they started dropping like flies at about the 17-mile marker. There were men who were just, they were hydrated all along, you know, at all the stops, but they just plain dropped at 17 and 18 miles. And there were all these doctors giving them IVs all along the sidewalks, just laying on the sidewalks, because they had just hit this wall and crashed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we look at naturopathic medicine, we like to have a guide that will guide us through, or a consultant that I would call us, or you can call us a coach or whatever you want to call us. But, you know, sometimes when, you know, they maybe should have asked their doctor and said, hey, you know, I've been doing the treadmill forever. Is this a good thing? And all of a sudden they crashed. And when you hit that wall, you know, at any time of your life, not only in a marathon, you could hit that wall in your life where there's no getting up. These grown men could not get up. So we really don't want to let our health go to that point where we can't get up and then we're just plain stuck, you know.
Right.
So really naturopathic medicine, you know, helps us all along the way. I think that's something men need to really grasp is, I'm not just going to wait until I'm the one on the pavement, you know, or I have a heart attack. I have a heart attack at the gym, you know, or something like that. Or all of a sudden, you know, I'm out with the guys and I really think I'm having pains in my chest. What should I do? So we're really trying to start the conversation, you know, with our teens and with our younger men. So how do you find that? Like, do you find you've got both ends of the paradigms with the younger and the older, or are you just getting the older clients right now?
No, actually, and that's what's really encouraging, is that I do see a whole number of younger guys who are coming in who want to be at their best. Because really what this is about, what naturopathic medicine really helps people with, is quality of life. It's, you know, are you feeling your best? Or have you been tired? Do you now have to use a bunch of coffee to wake up in the morning? Are you gaining weight? Are you, you know, feeling a lot of depression or anxiety? So people are coming in, men now, and even younger men, knowing that they want to be their best. And so I do get a whole bunch of younger guys coming in, wanting to optimize different parts of their health. And So it's not that they're waiting until something's gone wrong, which is a big shift in the culture. I mean, really up until now, a lot of men classically have that cowboy mentality that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And, you know, unless something's really going wrong, that you don't go to the doctor. We're seeing people come in at earlier stages of having problems, either prostate problems or they're having, you know, sexual problems, and they're seeking help, rightly so, at a point where we can really help. And so that's another thing to note, is that in the beginning stages, that's when you can help the most. It's not that you can't help someone later on when the problem really has developed, but in the beginning, you can completely reverse things off. And so that the sooner somebody actually seeks care, the greater likelihood that they'll see maximum gain. So, so along with my younger men and my older men, of those groups, the people who come to see me the soonest, when something first starts seeming a little bit off, that's when I can really intervene and do just the greatest good for them.
You know, we always have women saying, I need to go to a women's doctor and she had better be a woman. You know, I'm finding also that men do not necessarily have to have a male doctor. Either way, it really doesn't matter to them.
No.
You know, when they're seeking care, it really isn't that important.
Right. You're seeking somebody who's an expert in health. And if you can find an expert in health who's a man or a woman, really usually what it comes down to is that someone that you feel comfortable, you know, sharing your personal health information with. But that could be a man, it could be a woman. Whoever it is, if you're seeking out care, you know, you're putting your health in someone's hands, and, they're an expert in health. And that's one thing to note, is that a lot of people treat their own health problems themselves with all the information on the Internet. And I actually love it when patients look up, you know, information or really want to understand their condition. I think it's great that you take a handle on your health, but no one expects you to be an absolute expert in your health. That's why people like myself and like why you, Dr. Jeanette, are in practice. We're there to, you know, be that focal point, to, you know, sort through the information, to have it make sense to somebody. We're really there as that health consultant because we are the experts in health, and, you know, that's our job, is educating our patients.
With men's health, I can think back on some of the past clients that I've had come in, and even with my own kids, you know, in their 20s and 30s, they would say, oh, man, you know, I'm just really tired, or I'm this, or I'm that, and I'd be like, well, you know those vitamins that I gave you? And they're like, oh, yeah, vitamins are stupid, whatever. And then I said, well, just take them for 2 weeks, okay? I'm only giving enough for 2 weeks. And bring me the bottle back. And they'd be like, oh, okay. And it took them probably better than a year or so to even get a full 2 weeks of taking the vitamins every single day. But that took a long time to get to that pattern. But now they, if they're off it for 2 weeks, they're like, you know, I really asked you to order that. Didn't you order it? Where is it? You know, so I guess until we find something that really does change our everyday life, you know, for the better, we're really not going to be able to sink into that. Mm-hmm. And with men who are so out of tune of listening, you know, what's going on with their body, how do they even notice? And I think sometimes when you take it and you say, I'm only giving you 2 weeks and I'll see you in a month. And they're kind of like, that doesn't sound right. So you're really doing it for a purpose. The purpose is to create a habit. And the purpose is to say, with, without, which is better, what do I need? And sometimes with men, you just have to maybe take that little step, you know. I'm sure you've done that with your clients, right?
Well, I mean, it's the little step. It's the meeting them where they're at. You know, what, you know, I can recommend a really elaborate diet for them, but really I want to know where are they at right now and what can they reasonably do before my next visit. And so it's about changing on the pace that they're ready and comfortable to change at. That if somebody's really willing to play ball and they're, you know, doc, I just want to get better. I will do anything you tell me to. I mean, that's great, you know, and then I'll give them the treatment that I think is going to be to their maximum benefit, whereas someone else might not be ready to make all of those changes up front. And so, you know, I meet my patient where they're at, but I want to be progressively moving them to a greater and greater, a place of greater health. So however that pace goes, they don't have to change on my time scale. They're going to get to, it's like your son or, you know, who's taken a year to finally take his vitamin. As long as I see that there's forward progress being made, then I'm happy with that. You know, we're going to, it's the long haul, not the short sprint that I'm interested in.
Let's talk about peer pressure. Wow. I mean, men, they don't only have it when they're in grade school and high school. They've got it their whole life. It's all about their peers. You know?
Right.
What is the guy
right.
next to me doing? What is the guy down the street doing? Well, I don't know about my neighbor doing that. Hey, is my uncle doing that? You know? And I really think that is super important in health, where peer pressure can be positive, but it can also be negative, because if you're used to going out with the guys and having pizza and beer 3 days a week, you know, how am I going to say to you, I need you to make a change? And it's like, whoa, I'm not going to have my social aspects of my life or my stress reliever of my week. What am I going to do then?
Right, right. No, and that can be really difficult. I mean, when it's with that, or it's even men who are married and their spouses, you know, aren't necessarily supportive of what they're doing. And, you know, peer pressure can happen. We're creatures of habit. And so part of this is trying to establish a habit of health where you're actually doing things that create health versus creating things that your body, you know, has to deal with and, you know, kind of bail you out. So, you know, the good thing that I'm seeing, you know, on the topic of peer pressure, is that it's no longer taboo for men to be concerned about their health or to think about their health. I mean, there's all these men's health magazines that are out here. I mean, back when I was growing up as a kid, those I never saw them. Maybe they existed, but I never saw them. You know, back in the 70s and the 80s.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff was just not talked about. And so we're really entering a different culture now where it's becoming much more acceptable for men to actually be concerned about their health. I mean, you know, men, we have cardiovascular disease, we have diabetes, we have these chronic conditions that affect women too, but they proportionally seem to affect a ton of men and have a lot of terrible health effects. So men are actually stepping up and realizing that this is their life, this is their quality of life, and do they want to sit back passively and let life happen to them, or do they have an opportunity right now to shift their life for the better? And luckily, I'm seeing that, you know, a lot of men actually choosing that ladder, that they're now motivated to take hold of their life and do what they can do to live healthy and happy and get the most out of life.
I think so, too, around the ages of maybe 40s and 50s, but sprinkled throughout the other age groups also, is the fact that when someone, you just touched on it, someone in the family starts to make a healthy change and the other person doesn't want to. I mean, boy, I know that, you know, for the past several decades, you know, I would be sitting down eating my, you know, salad or whatever, and the people around me would be eating, you know, whatever. I call it brown and white food. Because here in the South, it's all fried or it's sugar, you know.
Right.
But that's what they eat. And when I'd ask for a salad here, it would be like you get iceberg lettuce with, you know, 2 cups of this dressing poured on it with a slice of onion from the hamburger and the slice of tomato from the hamburger. So really all you got was the toppings of their hamburger, excuse me, in a dish, you know, and how different that is. And, you know, how hard it also is to coexist that way.
Right, right. And that's true. And, you know, that, you know, especially when you have cultures that's so kind of, you know, like I said, creatures of habit, where we're into these really, you know, habits that don't promote health, how to shift that around and how to be kind of the beacon of light in a sea of darkness, you know, how to be the one who refuses to eat the white sugar and refuses to eat the fried food all the time, that you actually want to eat foods that make you feel good and make you feel healthy and you know, help you to have more energy and things like that, that can be really difficult. And it's, like I said, it's a shift in culture. You know, now, you know, going to the health food store used to be, when I was a kid, it was really, you know, it was really a strange thing. My family, they were interested in health back in the 70s, and they were not the mainstream at all. And I remember going to these health food stores as a little kid, and they were little, dark, dank little shops. And
oh, you know, they were hippie
first
shops then.
Yeah,
they were
totally
hippie shops. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And the produce didn't look that good, and the
right
meat was brown, and, you know, there were flies, and it was,
yep,
it was a really different thing. And now luckily, you know, health food stores have come a long way, and we have health food chains like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and these different stores. It's really been a shift in culture. And the other thing is that, you know, we have, sometimes it's hard to find access to healthy foods in your community, but at the same time, it can be really a wonderful thing to reach out to farmers and growers in the area so that you're really you're supporting local produce and you're finding those resources in your own community that can support your health. So even if you're not finding it in the grocery store, oftentimes you can find people locally growing it.
So that is where you and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum and where we live. So to our listeners, this is really important to notice this factor, because in Arizona, in California, in Pennsylvania, Florida, all of these various states, they have great sources of fresh, good food everywhere. And you can get it at a restaurant, you can get it at a grocery store, you can get it at a farmer's market, or even on the corner. But now here in the Deep South, it's totally different because the growers are not all around. There's not large farms or anything around, and people don't normally grow things. They're starting to, and there's little patchy farmers markets, so that is a beginning of cultural change. However, when you just see those little farmers markets, you're like, okay, that's really expensive, and what do I do with it? So when we're looking at access to food, it doesn't necessarily, access doesn't always solve an issue. Access just means, hey, I'm going to splash pink paint on the wall because I've got it. But that doesn't mean it goes along with the rest of the motif. So in other words, we can put a great grocery store over there to sell healthy food, which is what they're now doing in the South. We have one Whole Foods here, and, you know, they'll go to it, but then they'll realize, does it work for them or not? So having access doesn't always mean everyone can partake. So, you know, it is a change in culture to be able to be like those other people, but it is going to take time. So if you're in an area where you're saying, oh, yeah, well, I can get it all the time. I can go down the corner and get a green glass of goop, and I'm good to go. But in other areas, it really isn't there. So those are the areas in which you say, well, I really would like something. And if it's not available, then maybe that's an opportunity for you to create that. Maybe you could have a small, you know, stand with food, or you could have a small restaurant, or you could have a small blog or whatever that might be to help those people in this area see a few things differently. I know many times we would go to restaurants and people would say, I want the quarter pounder without the salad. And you and I might think that means a side salad, but that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is they want a hamburger with cheese, ketchup, and mayonnaise. They don't want onion, pickle, lettuce, and tomato, and they don't even want it on their dish. And if you put it on their dish, they'll push it off their dish onto the table. And it's like,
right,
whoa, okay.
Right,
you
right
know? And
right,
so that's just, you know, both ends of the spectrum and how you can come to the middle. And it does take generations to be able to do that.
All right. And it's just starting somewhere and, you know,
right,
making a conscious effort to improve your health. And if, you know, and if there are those, that availability of those foods around you, that at least affords you that you can do it. And whether or not you choose to do it, then and that might get back to the creature of habit thing. But if you start making a healthy habit in about a month, it's not something you have to think about anymore. It's something that you just do. Let's say it's having a salad a day, or let's say it's having, you know, food that's baked instead of fried, or whatever it is, that after a while you create a habit. We're creatures of habit, so let's create good, healthy habits.
You know, it's the funniest thing, because I have some people around me, and there's no way it's going to have a color. Nothing will they drink that has a color.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will they eat that has color. Nothing has color on the table. So what I started to do is I had gotten these nutrient-dense powders and started, since I'm the one that's cooking, I put them inside the foods and they don't know. But, you know, you have to make some kind of change, because they're not going to take the pills either. So, you know, you open them up, you put them in the mashed potatoes, and you mix it around, you
well,
know?
You do what you have to do. You meet people where they're at. And if you have to be a little bit of a subversive health practitioner, that's fine.
Right. But, you know, hey, you do just for the men and the women what you do with your kids. So that's what we have to do. So let's talk about a few topics in men's health that I think are ever challenging. So let's take on, I always like to think of it as this triad, where there's diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease. Well, I guess I can make it a quad, because there's also men's sexual health in there too. You know, once you get one, you kind of tend to go along to the next one and the next one and the next one. And then you're in your 70s and you're saying, man, I've just about had it. And you've got 20 bottles of pills on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think if we could have stopped that train maybe, you know, a couple of stops ahead, maybe we could have changed the pathway.
Right, yeah, it's exactly. I mean, heart disease and diabetes and obesity, these things didn't happen overnight. And so it's going to take some concerted effort and some time to heal those things. And you can do it. I mean, I've reversed diabetes in some people. In other people, they're, you know, they might have let their disease go too long. But in some people, you can reverse diabetes. You can reverse obesity. Your heart can get healthier. So that's the positive, is that you stand to gain a lot. You can heal these diseases. But if they've gone on for a long period of time, they can affect other systems. So, I mean, heart disease and diabetes, those are probably the number one condition that do affect men's sexual health. And so when men start having erectile problems or low libido or just greater fatigue and low stamina, those are kind of the end game. That's when you start seeing that, you know, those symptoms, when those come about, they're usually because you've had years of these other things affecting you, and now they're showing up. It's that, you know, that, and so that's when a lot of men actually come to the doctor, when they're starting to have erectile problems and low libido and prostate problems and things like that. And, you know, and like I was saying, that's usually because years have gone by where they haven't taken care of themselves. And so it's going to mean, you know, in some cases, some fairly radical changes to try and move them to a greater state of health, because it's been years of disease and unhealthy habits. And so there's a lot that can be done, but a lot of it's going back to those basics of where they went off, you know, how was their diet, were they exercising daily, were they, you know, drinking too much of, you know, unhealthy fluids. Were they, you know, what was it that contributed to them getting the pickle that they're in? And then how do we move them back to that state of health? So that end game, you know, so a lot of times, you know, guys, they don't want to admit a problem, or some guys don't want to admit a problem until it's too late. And for those guys, it's the erectile problems, because then they see that as a big affront to their male identity and their sexuality, which it is. But it's usually not just a problem that happened in a vacuum. It's this whole process, this whole lead up. And so it's addressing all that lead up that will get the most gains for those guys.
I think, too, a lot of times they are potentially shoved to the doctor because either their wife is going to leave or they've had so much chaos in their life because their body just isn't doing what they want it to do, that they're acting out in other areas of their life too, like causing anger and, when something doesn't work right and then you go to work and you're like, start attacking your coworkers, or you just don't pay attention to what you're doing, or you're spending too much time thinking about what isn't right in your life instead of what you can do about it. And that is, you know, a real classic wall that you can be hitting. So let's talk about diabetes, because diabetes, there are many different therapies that naturopathic physicians can use that will help, you know, shift some of the symptoms, shift some of the chemical changes that are going on in your body as a result of diabetes.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, so diabetes, at a base level, it's having a problem with blood sugar. Your blood sugar is riding too high. When your blood sugar rides too high in the body, it throws a lot of different things off. And it affects your eyes, affects your heart, affects your kidneys, and it affects those little blood vessels at the ends of our fingers and toes, but also into the male sexual organs. So with diabetes, what can you do? You know, what can naturopathic medicine do? Well, at a base level, getting somebody on a healthy diet and getting them exercising is so fundamental to this treatment, because if you can lose weight, you're starting to heal diabetes. If you can get people off of high carbohydrate-rich foods, which I mean starchy foods like bread, pasta, cereals, snacky foods, potato chips, those things tend to turn into raise high blood sugar. They raise your blood sugar very quickly. So getting people on a healthy diet, getting people moving so that you're encouraging that weight loss. And then on that healthy foundation, you can throw a bunch of other things. We have different supplements that can help regulate blood sugar. There's fish oils that are important for diabetes and protecting the kidneys. There's a whole bunch of other supplementation that can be really beneficial to build on top of a healthy regimen, so that, you know, naturopathic medicine offers kind of the best of both worlds. We're offering, you know, even what conventional medicine recommends, that that people lose weight and that people eat a healthier diet, but then bringing in, you know, various supplementation and, various other therapies, you know, they might be Chinese medicines and so forth, herbal medicines to help balance blood sugar and to stimulate the body to heal itself.
You know, it's funny, we always talk about the blood vessels and diabetes. And I had gone to a function recently and I looked around and the people that were moving their legs, you know, when you cross your legs and you just can't stop, you're shaking those feet like nobody's business, or you're moving those hands and twiddling. And it was so profound in this event that it was distracting. It was like something in my peripheral vision was just kept going and going and going. And then when I stepped back and I looked at it and I said, how many, I wonder, really have a health concern that they're not addressing? And we all know that, you know, that's a sign, but they're like, oh no, my feet are just asleep. It's no big deal. I'm sitting down too long. I'm just an active person. I'm sitting here and, you know, I really want to get moving. When really they're telling you something, they're just not knowing on how to look at it.
Right, right. And it might be that, you know, as human beings, we evolved to move. You know, we throughout our recent history, going back a few hundred years, people walked everywhere. I mean, you know, people moved. People worked on farms. People were very active. And now at this point, we're not very active. We don't move a lot. We get into cars. We mostly sit. We mostly sit either in front of a TV, in front of a computer, in a car, at a desk. And we're not moving. And when you don't move enough, you're not getting good blood flow. You're not getting good circulation. You're not nourishing your body, your cells in your body. You're not engaging your lungs to expand and bring full breaths of air and oxygen in. I mean, just moving, if if, you know, if that was all I could get somebody to do, was to do some amount of movement every day, going for a brisk walk, going for a bike ride, going swimming, doing some kind of movement, then I feel like I would have done them a great service to bring them back to greater health. Because it's just one of those things that we all need on a regular basis to help us feel healthy. And when we don't do it, you know, and maybe that's what's happening, is that the wisdom of those people's bodies, you know, that you saw kind of fidgeting, their body wants to move. So maybe mm-hmm. their body wants to get up and to improve their circulation and to take out the trash, you know, so to speak. And you know, we all have that. We all have that need in us to have some form of movement as a daily healthy regimen.
So let's talk about cardiovascular disease. Everybody thinks, oh, that's such a big word. You know, I need a doctor to decipher that for me. No. Mm-hmm. All that means is, what is your heart doing? Is it good, bad, or ugly today? Is it working?
Right.
Is it missing a beat? Is it feeling sluggish? Is it not pumping the blood to the rest of your body? And are you wondering if when you're stopped at the red light, you're falling asleep and the people behind you have to beep the horn for you to go? I mean, my gosh, I see that constantly, you know. Sometimes people will be sitting at the red light and the people are blowing the horn behind them. And someone will say, oh, they must just be texting. Really, that guy in that truck fell asleep at the red light, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Gosh, do we even notice that is such a warning sign of a health crisis just waiting to happen, you know? So
right,
with heart,
right.
You know, with heart, what do? Oh, that we look at the little things, we say they're not important until the day that, like the runners in the marathon, they can't get up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Heart disease is so important I think a recent statistic I saw that it was like 80 million people in this country suffer from some form of heart disease. So cardiovascular disease, it's heart disease. It's not just heart disease because you have your arteries and your veins and they can have problems too. But, you know, largely we think about heart problems. So that could be heart failure, could be high blood pressure, it could be plaquing in the arteries, and these conditions are so prevalent, and, you know, we see them walk into our offices all the time. And so for heart disease, there's a variety of therapies that we can offer people. But again, when I start treating somebody, I go back to the basics. Now, I look at what might have contributed to their issue, their problem developing throughout their health history. What was it that contributed to this process coming about and this end game of cardiovascular disease? And then I think about what can we do now at this point to start shifting their health backwards to a state, you know, of greater health, or maybe getting them back to their healthy heart health of, you know, when they were a teenager or when they were a young adult. Can we reverse that disease process back to that point? And, again, you're looking at, what's their diet like? Are they moving at all daily? Are they having enough sleep? You know, sleep is actually so vital for heart health, and I don't think people recognize that, you know, sometimes we think we can burn the candle at both ends and not have a consequence for it. So we can stay up really late and then get up early in the morning and just take coffee to help ourselves wake up. And, you know, recent studies have shown that if you even get, you know, 1 hour less of sleep than your body really needs, that increases your risk of having a heart attack. And that makes you crave sugary foods later on in the day and so forth. And so, you know, when we're looking at cardiovascular health, there's all these factors, but all these basic factors that are going to help either create health in your body or create dysfunction, create disease. So getting a healthy regimen down and then looking at specific nutrients that are really important for heart health. We have, you know, CoQ10, we have magnesium, we have D-ribose, we have these supplements that for some people can make a big difference if you build it on top of a stable foundation of a healthy regimen.
And it is important for men to be able to think about supplements and vitamins, because when you are running and you're going and you're doing and maybe you're not eating as well or whatever the the thing may be at that time. Supplements can keep the nutrients that you need for your body to be able to do certain processes. You know, we always talk about heart disease in men, but heart disease is also in women, because I think it was last year, I do a lot of end-of-life work, and a woman had called me, and she was pretty much at the hospital, just came out, and her health wasn't doing well, and things just weren't going right for her, and she just wanted to make a change. And when it came right down to it, of 5 days of working with her, on the fifth day, she said, you know, I said, what do you really want? She says, I want to see about a heart transplant. Mm-hmm. And it was like, why do you want that? She says, because my heart just isn't going to be able to do it anymore. And if you listen to how profound that her words were, is that her heart had been broken and she wanted a new one, because she thought that would solve her issues and her world would be better. So I think we think that also with men, you know, I'm going to run against the wall. If I have a heart attack, that's okay, because now technology is going to give me my bypass or my stents, and, hey, I don't have to change anything. They gave me my medicine.
Right.
I'm just going to change my medicine. So, you know, let's keep running against that wall until all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, because it's really gotten to be big business about this heart transplant stuff. And it's like, are you really kidding me? You know, it's so far out the realm of thinking about it that it's almost like a car. You know, you're going to run that puppy down the road, and when it needs a new engine, you're just going to drop it off in the corner and pick up another one up on the other side. And that just doesn't happen with our bodies.
Right. And I think that people need to realize also that your own equipment will work better than borrowing it from somebody else. I mean, I know several people that have had organ transplants. I mean, which is the furthest end. Something really bad happened to your own organ, your own heart, your own liver, whatever it might be, and you had to get another one from somebody else, which, you know, sometimes happens in people that have chronic conditions. But if you poisoned that organ and now you're getting a new one, number one, you very often have to take really terrible drugs, so because your body doesn't reject that organ, and who's to say that you didn't change, you know, that you changed anything that led to that same problem that you just had. You know, people want to have their cake and eat it too. People want to be able to burn the candle at both ends without consequences, and you just can't. The things are going to catch up with you at some point, and, you know, having a heart attack is devastating. It can lead you with permanent damage. Having a stroke can lead you with permanent damage. I mean, these things are not something that we really want to play around with. They're not only they affect our quality of life, they can end our lives. And so making those steps to really improve your health and reclaim your health, sooner is better. Sooner is better. If you wait too long, you know, you might have missed that window of opportunity to really get the best out of your life. And so the shifting mentality that we have to take a step back and not try and do everything all the time. That we need to make some decisions, or these really important decisions, that are actually going to create health in our lives rather than lead us further down a path of disease and dysfunction.
I think we've become a population of believing, you know, that we're invincible. You know, I can remember in the, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s, if you had a heart attack, it was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, it was a devastating thing. Then technology and medicine and drugs, we've tackled the heart attack. Hey, we're good with it, you know. Everybody gets them. Everybody knows someone that's had one, and everybody knows that, hey, it didn't kill me. So then along came cancer, you know. Cancer. In the, you know, early 90s when people got it, it was like, oh, my gosh, this is absolutely awful. I'm so sorry for you. Now it's like, you know, a lot of people that have had cancer, and you know they, quote, there goes another button. Hey, they tackled it. We're good to go. You know, same as with AIDS. You know, people are living all the time now with AIDS. Hey, we're good to go. We tackle that one. So you wonder what the next paradigm is going to be that's just going to start taking down people sooner and say, hey, you don't have it covered. You know,
right.
You need to stop right. and start looking at yourself, because what you're doing is you keep hitting these walls and you keep making another wall out of something. And, you know, like when everybody starts having cancer, when you sit down a group of men or women and they say, oh, yeah, well, she had cancer, but she's fine. And then, you know, mm-hmm. oh, well, yeah, he had a heart attack, but he's fine. We keep dissing the process. We keep dissing what we should have learned from it. And we don't even give credence to people anymore, or compassion or empathy towards people who are having these health challenges, because mm-hmm. it seems to be so common anymore. I mean, cancer
right.
and heart disease almost are as common as getting the flu, you know? It's like, yeah, okay, so what, you know? And we really
right.
are disservicing to people even, and that men
right.
and women do that, right?
Right, right. And those are big warning signs. If you come down with cancer, and granted there are certain cancers that have more of a genetic predisposition, that if your mom had it, your dad had it, you might have it. But, you know, a lot of cancers are actually preventable. And if you're getting cancer, if you're getting heart disease, having a heart attack, if you're having a stroke, if you're having one of these conditions, that should be a big wake-up call. I mean, I love technology, and I think technology offers us so much in the way of, you know, potentially assisting us with, you know, especially with acute care for health. You know, I mean, I've seen people go in, and I've shadowed a doctor in a hospital, who a cardiologist, who, you know, he would do these procedures where he would go up through the artery into the heart and put stents in and things, and it was actually really amazing to watch, but wow, I'm glad I wasn't that guy on the table having a tube stuck up my artery and into my heart. I'm glad that I have a healthy heart. And, you know, having those procedures, those are really, you know, invasive and extreme procedures. And the fact that these are happening so commonly, that's a big wake-up call. It's a big wake-up call that we as a country, we really need to get back to the basics and focus on what's going to create health. What is and where are we going wrong? And you know, just because everyone else might be doing this a certain way, that doesn't mean I have to. I can stand up for my health and make healthy choices for myself. So that having cancer, having heart disease, having diabetes, it's sad. These are conditions that are so prevalent now, and they're mm-hmm. just. They're terrible conditions to have. They really do affect your quality of life. And unless you take the message and the wake-up call that offers you, you know, you're just bound to have a similar thing repeat itself. History will repeat itself for you. But you have the choice right now to actually start making positive choices.
I think sometimes when we have those health conditions happen, we say, oh, it's a challenge for the person, and they're going to learn to be stronger. But also in the same breath, I try to look back and say, where did it come from? And maybe let's look there. So it's not really the drugs or the therapy that's making them stronger. Maybe the process that they have to identify is how have they contributed to this, or how can they change their lifestyle, their emotional and mental, you know, condition, or
mm-hmm.
even their social life, and be responsible for the nutrition that they're giving their body. So really,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of just looking at, hey, I've got cancer, I've got heart disease, and I'm strong because I did this, when, like you said, you know, it can always recur, it could always change, it'll morph into something else. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't pay attention, you will hit that wall. You know,
right.
So it's really more, I think we're finding, in the next generation or so, I think we're going to be talking more about medicine as, hey, it's not even about the drug or the little bottle or the surgery. It's about, okay, so tell me about yourself. What's going on? And
mm-hmm. right.
How
right.
can we get people to start even thinking that is so important?
Right, right. And I think that's something that, you know, naturopathic medicine does very well, and hopefully that's going to be just a, you know, an attribute that percolates down into all aspects of medicine, is really getting to know the person in front of you and individualizing your treatment and your recommendations to them. And, you know, in, I know that in conventional care, there's not, they often don't have a lot of time to spend with patients. And that's something that I do take a lot of pride in, is that I spend about an hour with each of my patients, you know, not even just my new patients, but my return patients, because I want to really know them, and I want to know what are they facing, what are their health challenges, you know, are they, how did they get into this spot? Is it because they're, you know, they just don't know what's best for them? You know, some people, they just don't know. It's pure education, you know, what a healthy diet might be for them. And it's like, you know, I give the analogy that it's like we're all like a car. And a car needs the right fuel. If I take my car and instead of putting in unleaded gasoline, I put in apple juice, my car doesn't work, right? My car needs unleaded gasoline. So what is your unleaded gasoline? What is the fuel that's going to make you run the best? And then you also need to do regular checkups with your car, right? You need to go and get the oil changed and get a tune-up and check the tires. You need to do that for your body. I mean, people take better care of their cars than they do their own bodies. You know, so that's one thing to note, is that, you know, you just need to customize that treatment for that person. But then beyond that, if, when I'm getting to know each of these people, I understand that everybody has issues that they're dealing with. Everybody has some amount of, you know, reasons why they are the way they are. With some of my patients that have anxiety and depression, or just, you know, even just they have a melancholy. They're just sad. I'm getting to know them on that personal level and know what their challenges have been through their life. It's kind of one of the greatest gifts that I have as a doctor, is allowing people to tell their story. And that can be so profound, because some of these people have never even gotten a chance to tell their story and to be seen and to not be judged for anything they say. And that's something that, you know, I'm glad that I can offer, and I'm sure you, Dr. Jeanette, offer that as well, that space to allow somebody to just be who they are and to tell their story. And then once they tell their story, and once you know them at this really base level, you're so much better equipped to give them advice. You know who they are, where they're coming from, and, you know, you can not only help them directly with issues, you know, mental, emotional issues, but you also know what motivates them and what their dreams and aspirations are. And so, you know, being able to individualize my care for patients in those various ways, it's just one of the biggest blessings that I have being a naturopathic doctor and being in this profession. I'm just, every day I feel so grateful that I get to do this for my life's work.
You know, when we talk about that, also we think about end of life. And end of life, to me, I really think about anybody past 65. And the reason for that is because you do notice your friends are starting to pass away early, or health conditions start to come up, or your whole entire, what you've been focusing on your whole life is your success, or your proud token in life, or your marriage may change, the place where you live may change. Everything changes around those ages. And when we start to see men just take those changes and not be able to adapt, or have a health condition that can take them down. I mean, we've spoken on this show before about incontinence with men.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when men start to put their clothes in the washing machine themselves, and you're thinking, oh, he finally he's figuring out he should help around the house. Well, no, maybe he's just hiding the fact, you know, of incontinence issues. Or when they say they don't really want to go out with you or a bunch of people because they're afraid. Or if you end up, you know, going into that diaper regime, I tell them that is the worst thing for men or women, because, you know, when you walk with those things, they rustle, or you see bumps through your clothes, or men are not going to use a public restroom. So we've also talked about, you know, men's underwear that look like Hanes, that if you had 20 men in a restroom, you would never know the guy had an incontinence issue, because there was a pad sewn on the inside that didn't rustle, and it would just go in the washing machine. You know, and how that really takes down your psyche. So when we're talking about men and health, these health conditions can really take down your psyche and really burst your balloon.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, male identity, you know, part of it, it depends on how you view yourself as a man and how society, you know, views men and dictates what we should and shouldn't feel and what we should and shouldn't do. So male identity, I mean, luckily it is evolving and men are able to more and more talk about their feelings and talk about their health, but there still is, you know, there's a lot of taboo and there's a lot of embarrassment that men feel when things start going wrong. Let's say when you have a condition like benign prostatic hypertrophy, or hyperplasia rather, BPH is normally called. And so when you have a condition like that, what that can do is it's your prostate's an organ that surrounds the urethra, which is where the urine flows. And when that thing swells up, it's almost like you've kinked off the hose. And so now men have dribbling. They have difficult time initiating a stream. They might get up in the night, you know, four or five times to use the bathroom. And that, boy, that affects your quality of life. You get to the restroom, you saddle up to the urinal, and you're sitting there for 5 minutes because you can't start a proper urine stream. And, you know, these things that were never a problem before, now they're starting to become a problem. And BPH is one of those things that we, you know, very commonly can help men with. But at the same time, it's like the early stages of a problem. When it first starts, that's your best time to intervene. You know, when you get more advanced and, you know, the prostate's grown too large, it's harder to kind of reverse that condition once it's grown that big. And this condition is very common. There's, you know, something like 90% of men over the age of 80 have some amount of BPH. And so it's something that we all have to deal with and if we live long enough. And it can be a source of embarrassment, you know, that men can't urinate like they used to. They're having to get up in the night. They have this almost like an irritable bladder to a certain extent. And, you know, that's our male identity, is that, you know, we're strong men and, you know, sex isn't a problem and we can do what we need to do throughout the day. And now we're having things that affect our quality of life. We have, like I said, the BPH, or we might have lower sex drive, or we might have erectile problems. I mean, that really will assault your image of what a man is, being a strong man that can have sex whenever he wants and so on and so forth. Well, now your muscle tone is weaker and you can't have sex all the time and you're having erectile problems. That's a huge blow to your identity if you've structured it in kind of a classical, you know, men's identity. I think when we're
looking at the answers, though, also, too, at the bottom of a little yellow pill bottle, you know, people will go to the doctor and say, well, I have this, and you're going to give me this pill. But really, right. Erectile dysfunction, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, any type of vascular issues, or even dementia and Alzheimer's, all of these are in the same paradigm. It's more like what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? Mm-hmm. Cardiovascular disease, did that cause my impotence? Did impotence cause my cardiovascular disease? Or did diabetes cause it? Or did this? Or did that? And then what we start to get is on that pony of how many bottles, you know? You mm-hmm. treat one thing, like, let's say, your heart issues, and then you might end up with a side effect that will cause something else. And then something else, you get another drug. So it's sort of like, again, like we've said before, you tackle these big health things, and you think, hey, got that coverage, you know, and you go to the next thing. And we're really not, our body and our health is not a package of dominoes, you know, where you got to get to the next one, to the next one. Because eventually mm-hmm. you run out of dominoes.
You know?
And you're stuck in a paradigm there because you're living your life like you think you're supposed to. We're saying is, you know, Dr. Heath and I are saying live your life fully. Learn how to do that, so that when these dings come along, you can handle them and not just be strong or fix them, but maybe you can walk through them and say, how can I change them?
Right. And I think you touched on something there, Dr. Jeanette, about, you know, the medications that we take. And that brought up something for me in the sense that oftentimes we think we can take a magic pill and our condition will be treated. And I think there's a time and a place for medications, but I also think medications are largely overused and that a lot of medications have side effects. For instance, you touched on it, that the cardiovascular medications, a lot of those that you can be on. So there's ACE inhibitors, beta blockers, you know, we have atenolol, we have, different drugs that amlodipine that lower blood pressure. Those very often have side effects of erectile dysfunction. And a lot of guys might not know that by lowering your blood pressure, that you can also have problems with getting an erection. And so, you know, or there's a drug called Flomax, and it's for men that have, you know, BPH, and it helps them to, you know, relax their bladder and go to the bathroom. And with Flomax, one of the side effects is that you have what's called retrograde ejaculation. So you ejaculate and nothing comes out. It's gone into your bladder instead, and then you urinate it out later. And those are strange experiences for men to have. You know, they're very, and those are medication side effects. So is your condition just from a medication side effect? It sometimes is. And are medications always the best way to go? Sometimes they're not. And it's, you know, it's also shifting that culture of thinking you can take a pill and it'll fix things. That, you know, very often they don't fix things, or it's a quick fix, or it doesn't ever address the underlying problems of how this condition started to begin with.
And also we look at people and their medical labs or their medical testing. You know, they'll come in with a symptom and we'll run a test or something and we'll say, oh, look at it. It must be that, because that's out of range, or because that looks funny. And, oh, how lucky you are that we caught it. I mean, an example of it is, you know, President Bush the other day, they said, oh, we just reviewed his records. You know, he was in the hospital in the summer for a stent. And, oh, my gosh, we are so lucky that we reviewed it and that we saved his life. He was, you know, he could have been at death's door. And it's like, we have these things going on in our body all the time, and it's just to recognize that we aren't looking for perfect labs. We're looking at for a perfect life. So he will continue to do all those good things. It's great that they found it, but, you know, we always tend to want to put a label on it. We want to be able to fix it. So, like, by taking a pill, our numbers come down. By getting a procedure, then we're going to save that. And that really isn't the picture of health. Picture of health is not, oh, now I have a stent. Or a picture of health, oh, now I can urinate. That is not a picture of health. That's alleviating a symptom.
Right, or I'm taking a medication to lower my cholesterol, which is the one that I see all the time now, where, you know, there's a whole bunch of other healthy ways to lower cholesterol without needing the medication. There's some people that have just abnormally high cholesterol, and it's a genetic thing, but very often you can manage cholesterol without medications. I do it all the time, and, you know, and my treatment aren't going to have, you know, they're not going to have the same side effects that those drugs have. So, you want to do blood testing, you want to see what the numbers are, but you also want to encourage that person to have quality of life. You know, you don't want to just take something to lower someone's cholesterol, because how did they, like I said at the beginning, how did they get into this pickle to begin with? Why did you end up here? What contributed to it? And what can we do? How can we shift course to return you to a greater state of health without needing to do, you know, really either invasive procedures or, you know, pile on a whole bunch of medications. Very often it's possible to get a greater state of health without doing those procedures and piling on a bunch of medications. And, you know, that's what we're talking about here, and that's what Dr. Jeanette and I do, is we help people gain a greater state of health, reclaim their health, naturally, by stimulating the body to heal itself, by, you know, taking away the factors that are inhibiting our bodies from really reaching our full potential.
Well, Dr. Heath, it's been an absolutely great show. I was wondering, I didn't even notice, and we're just up to time. So could
Time's
you
live.
Give us a little bit information on how someone may be able to contact you if they'd like
absolutely.
More information, or just to maybe just have a conversation even over the phone with you?
Right, absolutely. My office, so I practice in Arizona. I'm in the Phoenix metro area, and I'm happy to receive emails or phone calls. My office number is 480-970-0000. My email address is h.mcallister, mcallister, at scnm.edu. And the place where I practice that is called the Southwest Naturopathic Medical Center. And, you know, you can, if you're in the area, I'd be happy to see any of the listeners. You can schedule an appointment. If you'd like to schedule a phone consult or send me an email, I'd be happy to field those also. So any of those routes would be fine. I'd be happy to hear from anybody.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I know we've touched on a lot of things about men's health, but also about paying attention. So if there's a real big takeaway here, it is stop and listen and let somebody know what's going on, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to sum it up.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dr. Jeanette. It was a pleasure.
Great. Thank you for being here. So if anybody would like more information about Dr. McAllister, he did give the information just a moment ago, and you can contact him directly. If you need to speak with me, please contact me. The information is on the show page of today. My website and my email are there, outoftheboxhealthcare.com. I'll be more than happy to forward you on to Dr. McAllister. Men's health is not easy. Sometimes if you're a woman and your spouse is having some issues, just turn on this show and let it play in the background. Maybe they'll pick something up from it. But also, we as females also will say, hey, you know, maybe I need to be doing that too. Because this is just not a one-man show. You know, we can't all say, hey, you need to do something because I can see it happening with you. Maybe we need to say, I can do something also and change our life around the house, change our health in the house. So do take responsibility all the way around because it really will help everyone. So again, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. I hope you have a wonderful day. We will be continuing naturopathic medicine with naturopathic physicians once a week. Please check the schedule. So thank you so much for being with us and have a great day.